ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
We are wrapping up our thoughts on the family series. And just like I left off on Sunday, biblical thoughts to the singles. And today, I like to say, talk to the married people, biblical thoughts for the married. And on Sunday, by God's grace, which we will bring this teaching to a climax, we will talk about biblical thoughts in case of those who are separated, divorced, widowed. And we trust God for wisdom in that service. To be able to address the salient issues so that as many who desire to get married again, they can know the kingdom perspective towards their present status. So to the married tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I read again the first 9 verses, which is our test. But, okay, let me read the principle of marriage, first 9 verses. But let me read verses 10 all through to 16, since I'm specifically talking to the married. It said, now to the married I command, yet not I, that's 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband. And her husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean. Now they are holy, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For now, do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? I think I'm going to leave that, particular those verses of scripture, I'm going to leave them until Sunday to address them. But let's read the first 9 verses. Now concerning the things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have control over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with a consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And I say this as a concession, not as a commandment, for I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God. One in this manner and the other in and another in that. So we are looking at biblical thoughts on marriage. It is no more a doubt that the world you and I live in is in crisis of identities and uncertainties. Things are happening around us every day that sometimes it leaves us in awe. Sometimes many of us, we have many questions as to what the definition of right or wrong is, as to what is acceptable or what is normal. But God doesn't want us to live in confusion. As a matter of fact, when God created man, he expects man, or he designed man, to be in charge. So we are supposed to be in charge. That is the expectations of God. We're supposed to be in charge of our families, in charge of our businesses, in charge of our enterprise, or whatever we choose as our life endeavors. But we know the story of how the devil came in and man conceded that authority, and is as if the whole world at the moment is under that lease arrangement between Adam and Satan. And so many things are happening that are even affecting our marriages. Some have had experiences in marriage that are not palatable. Some have had good experiences. Others are contemplating whether to enter into that institution or not. But tonight, by God's grace, I'm here to say to you that marriage is a good thing. If you had the privilege and the opportunity to be married, marriage is a good thing. Everything God created, the Bible recorded in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and God saw that everything he created was very good. Genesis chapter 2, it was God who said, it is not good for this man to be alone. In Genesis 2:15, he said, he kept the man in the garden. The garden represents his enterprise, his business, his career path, to dress and to keep it. And then Adam was walking. He named all the animals. But the Bible recorded that, the law of first mention recorded that there was none comparable to Adam. So it was God's prerogative to give Adam a wife, a helper comparable to him. So God took out of Adam to complete Adam, and he brought her to Adam, and Adam named her Eve. And Adam said, this is now the place of my flesh and the place of my bone of my bone, flesh of my friend, flesh, and she shall be called a woman. Tonight, I just want to premise on that first family template. God says later in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, establishing that order, he said, therefore, for this reason, for this order, a man will leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. I want to look at the word married life. So if you count that word, there are actually 11 words. So I want to say to you tonight, or give you just a brief understanding on 11 reasons why married life is the best life. So if you have the opportunity, you have the privilege to be married, please, I want you to treat it with utmost responsibility. It is not a game of Tom and Jerry. Your spouse is given to you as a helpmeet. You are in there for synergy, for cooperation. You are in there for companionship, for friendship. And you must have that at the back of your mind. So the married life are the summary of eventful years for any couples where specific, notable experiences of many highs, lows, fun, not many fun times in their married life. When you summarize it together, they are all eventful moments. As one who is married, I have personally seen the benefit of being married. There have many successes, many failures, many highs and low moments. Even as a married couple, there are times you are happy. There are other times you ask yourself the question, who sent me here? What am I really doing here? Why am I married to this person? So if you are listening out there tonight and you have such moments in your life, hey, it is part of the game. But when we summarize those high, those low moments, those records of accomplishment, those time of disappointment, those time of failure, that is what is summarized to be the married life of any couple who is married. Because through it all, there can't be any other life when you want to look at it from the aspect of friendship, the joy of cooperating with another person that is not your bloodline, the joy of building together, the joy of crying together, the joy of laughing together. There is no other platform that can be accomplished except through the institution of marriage. It's a life of joy. It's a life of synergy. It's a life of cooperation. It's a life of partnership. It's a life of friendship. If you don't mind, as I looked at these 11 reasons, can we read from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12? Let me just remind us of that scripture again. It was part of our scripture that we used when we started this series in July. Ecclesiastes 4, if you have a Bible like mine, you find out that it's subtitled. That context is subtitled, The Value of a Friend. That's what marriage does. It offers us opportunity for friendship. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone. When he falls, he has no one to help him up. And again, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Luke chapter 14. Where one is married, one is building with one spouse. And Jesus asked this question. Is a commitment to God? That's why he says threefold cord. Commitment to God and then commitment to one another in the institution of marriage. And exactly that's what we did. For those of us who are married, that was what was done on our wedding day. We exchange vow. And some of those vows, we need to consistently remind ourselves in the married life. We say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness, in strength. We took those vows. And we said to our spouses, until death do us part. So in Luke chapter 14, Jesus just explained that to us. Luke 14:28, we read up to 30. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower? So we are building an enterprise. We are building a home. We are building a marriage. We are building lives together. He said, does not sit down first and count the cost. And whether he has enough to finish it. Least after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who heard about it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Proverbs chapter 24. Just bringing up these scriptures tonight, just for us to be able to have the understanding, biblical understanding of what the married life is. So we are building. We are building. We are building on the rock. We are building on the template of God. We are building on that love of God that has been shared abroad in our heart. We are building for friendship, for cooperation, for synergy. We are not on each other's neck. So we are not enduring each other. We are building for life. We are building for the future. In Proverbs chapter 24, I don't know if we can get the Good News Translation. It talks about it, or the New Living Translation talks about building a home like an enterprise. In Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, it says, true wisdom, a house is built, a life is built, a family is built. It said, by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant things, or pleasant riches. So that's another scripture. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus pulled up a parable as to how we build. So when we are married, we are building. We are building. We are building. And from verse 46, it talks about two people who are building. But we are building on the rock as married people, kingdom married people. We're building on the rock. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you will not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. It's like a man building a house who dugs deep. So we build on the word of God. We build on the love of God. We build on the character of God. And the character of God are written all over his world. God is faithful. God is just. God is holy. God is committed to us. So we build on that character. He said, I will show you to whom he's like. It's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, so in marriages, challenging times will come. High tides, low tides will come. Disappointing moment will come. Time of rejoicing will also come. Time of celebrating success, building together will also come. He said, when the flood arose, beat vehemently against that house, he could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. But he who had and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and ruin of that house was great. Last scripture before I go into the 11 reasons. I will just read them out for you. Jeremiah 29. I just want to establish that fact tonight, that because marriage is good, so married life is the best life. I mean, it just gives you that joy. You meet this man, you meet this woman, you don't know, well, fine, you find out about their genealogy, but you were not raised in the same house with them. There are different values that were communicated to you, yet you came together in faith and you built together and you are still building together. So it's something that we should release ourselves in faith to enjoy the best that God has put into that institution. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Say, for I know the thought that I think towards you, says the Lord. It's thought of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. So that's what married life also got, a future. Two people working in faith, building together in friendship, in cooperation, in synergy. And they build together to the point that they build a legacy for our God. So offspring comes from such homes. And he said in Psalm 22, verse 30, a seed is serving God, and it shall be counted unto him for a generation. So, the word hem, it means married life. That's first reason why married life is the best life. Number one, married life, which is the word hem, makes you a better person. Where we read from Ecclesiastes 4, he said, two are better, a better person. Before marriage, it was me, me, me. Our primary concern is whatever will benefit us as an individual. But marriage or married life affords us the opportunity to lay aside selfishness, to lay aside stinginess, to lay aside thinking about me, me, me. It now becomes us. And when God gives you the privilege of raising kids for Him, I mean, you have extended it. So, married lives make you a better person. Married lives helps us to grow. So, we leave the childish thing and we attain manhood. When I say manhood, male and female. So, it's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to still grow. It's an opportunity to pass from selfishness to selflessness. The word "hey" means you always have someone to share your greatest experiences with. So we are looking at the word married life. So "hem" is married life makes you a better person. "Hey" is you always have someone to share your greatest experience with in life. In Proverbs 18 verse 24, the Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that person is your spouse. So married life gives you that opportunity to share your day. Oh, what's happening today? Where are we going today? What are you doing for today? And then you go. And at the end of the day, you come back. I mean, you exchange pleasantry, even in the course of the day, and then you find out that it's an opportunity to strengthen. The Bible says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his brother. So the married life affords us to that opportunity to always share our lives with our spouses, with our family, sometimes nucleus and extended family. So you have someone to share your greatest experiences with. Our test, two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. When one falls, the other one lift up his fellow. He said, but woe to him. Samuel Ajari called out. Translation says, "Egbe, woe to him who is alone. When he falls, he has no one to lift him up." So there is benefit when you have that opportunity to share your greatest experiences. And some of these greatest experiences, like I've said earlier on, they are experiences of good, ugly, and bad. Sometimes they are experiences of success. Sometimes they are experiences of disappointment. Sometimes there are experiences of setbacks into comeback. But you have somebody to share such experiences with. And when we don't have it, sometimes it takes an adverse effect on us. So sometimes we have difficulties in life, but someone is there to listen and probably provide a perspective on such. The first R means married life helps you to attain real long life. Real long life. Real long life. Married people live longer. I mean, in some few days ago, I saw a post on the social media of a couple who has been married for the couples are 103, the other one 96. They've been married for 60, 65 years of their lives. And even at that level, they still had argument, they still fight, they still have differences. So it helps us to walk through life, real long life. I know, because on Sunday, I provide a perspective towards it. I know marriage can be stressful. I know some people have had bitter experiences in marriage. But you can have this perspective ready if you need to remarry. Real long life. Married people live longer. Studies show that married men live longer than single men. Married men are likely going to die of infectious disease or heart diseases. As you age, as you and I age, we need someone to help us out. So, married people live longer. The second R talks about the root of a family. So marriage is the root or foundation that we can build families on. I've said it earlier on, two people of different, sometimes this day, is even of different race, of different cultural difference or differences. So two people have the opportunity to come together, and there is a root. Sometimes it is not just cultural, sometimes it's beyond the boundary of nations. Two people get married. So we can trace the root of a family through the family unit. So marriage is the root or foundation that we can build a family on. Even in cases where people have negative or positive effect, it can be traced to their family. So being married helps us to be able to extend that root. High there talks about intimacy. Intimacy. He said, when two sleep together, they keep warm. That's what Ecclesiastes say. That's what he says. Intimacy. Let's be real. Some men and women may have different opinion of how they define intimacy. But hey, beyond the issue of sex or sexual relation, marriage provides us that intimacy where we live our lives through one another. And that gives us strength. That gives us capacity to walk through life. Capacity to accommodate whatever it is that this life throws at us. So marriage helps us, or married life helps us to achieve intimacy. He there means earnings, increase. So through the married life, we pull our resources together. We earn more. We create wealth. That's why the Bible says two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. That's why I said earlier on that married life is not a selfish life. It's a selfless life. So it affords us that opportunity to share ideas, that opportunity to create wealth. We have seen this in our world. Many people, husband and wife, they build businesses together. Men, husband and wife, they build quality things together that helps them to create wealth in this world. So earnings increase. Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. Married life affords us that level of partnership that is born out of intimacy. The Bible says one will chase a thousand, two will chase tens of thousands. So earnings increase. Earnings increase. It's been proven in studies that most married men will make additional 40% income more than single men. The D there means double the pleasure. Double the pleasure. When one is married, or one is married to a spouse, you are married to their family or extended family. So you know more people. I mean, if you are married to people and in-laws where fun is the rule of the game, you have more fun. If you are married, I mean, you see that in our world where people go on annual family vacation and all the routes, they just pack themselves and just go. They have fun. They go for picnic. So when you are married, is that pleasure is doubled. I know these days, because we are beginning to become selfish, we don't do things together anymore. But hey, the marriage life gives us opportunity. It's a support system. And then you just flow. I know people have issues with their in-laws, middle-laws, out-laws, but hey, we are just focusing on the benefits of being married. It helps you to spread your tentacles. Let's look at the word life. So we've looked at the word married. So married life makes you a better person. You always have someone to share your greatest experiences of life with. Real long life is achievable. Root of a family can be traced. Intimacy can be maintained. Earnings increase. And then we can double the pleasure. Let's look at the word life. Hell stands for love.
Love.
At the root of married life, it's God's love. It's God's love. And that's what we share with one another. High there stands for interest. Interest. When you're married, it affords you to share the same interest. These days, many people share interest. Football, common interest, football. So you have the jersey for the man, for the woman, for the kids. But beyond football, there are many things. Some people like traveling, so they are married to someone who also loves traveling. Some people love to just go out and see the world, and they are married to someone who also loves to go out and see the world. So it gives them that opportunity to do that together. But when we strive for goals individually, there is a limit to which we can go. So when we are married, it creates interest around same passion sometimes. Have there means friendship. 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 Your spouse is a brother, is a friend closer, who sticks closer than a brother. I say this all the time. The whole world may bail out on you, but if you are married to your own spouse, they will not bail out on you. The whole world may reject you, but hey, if you're married to your spouse and it's a relationship that has been built on friendship, you know that someone has your back, someone is there to encourage you, someone is there to speak good of you. Even when people don't speak good, when they speak ill of you, your spouse will speak good of you. So friendship. Last word there, E means experiences and memories that we create together. Interest, friendship, experiences, love, interest, friendship, experiences. That's what the word life means. So as I tie this up tonight, as married people, please understand, you are there for friendship. You are there for cooperation. Many people don't enjoy their marriages because they focus on each other's weaknesses. Whether you realize it or not, I'll tell you the truth tonight. Please, not all conflict in your marriage will have solution. There are some things that they are just wars that you will never win. So, how do you deal with such issues? Learn to live with it. And some of them may not be major things after all. They may fall into minor things. They are not threats to life and living. So you could as well just see it as a project, good project between you and your spouse. So as married people, we need to increase our friendship and closeness. Like I said, the truth is that maybe not all conflict will be resolved. But in theory, you can learn to live with some of these things and not allow them to destroy your friendship relationship with your spouse. You must focus as married people on building your life together. A positive interaction and friendship is actually the key to a marital satisfaction. Marital stability is that satisfying marital relationship that is not disrupted by separation or divorce. We must seek, as married people, to move past our perpetual issues and enjoy our relationship and be willing to resolve our relationship issues. Whether you realized it or not, it takes two to work out a marriage. And in closing tonight, I'd like to say, if there are things you must avoid in your relationship of marriage, researchers, they call it the four husbands that destroy marriages. Please take note of these four things. This is as a result of research over decades working with couples is named, number one, us men, criticism. Please, there's a way you can be constructive in your differences with your spouse such that such criticism don't go into negative things and has the tendency to heat up the good that is working in your marriage. So criticism. Second, defensiveness. Third, stonewalling. Four, contempt. By the time any relationship or marriage gets into stonewalling, you need to do extra work so that it doesn't result in separation and divorce. When any relationship or marriage enter into contempt, that you can't even afford to see your spouse eye to eye anymore, no friendship, no communication, that is a home heading towards divorce. I believe tonight you've been able to learn one or two things as married people. God's intention is that we live in cooperation with one another. We build a friendship with one another. We synergize for His greater purposes for our life. And we can see the reward of the things that we build together. Let me pray.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,